As you sit, we pray together. Father, we pray that as you have spoken to us through your word, the scriptures, have you spoken to us supremely through the word Christ, we pray that you'll continue to speak into our lives by the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Lord, that we will be ever moulded into your likeness, growing ever further into your kingdom, we pray. In your name, amen. We have been reflecting over this Christmas season on hope here and the undeniable hope for all there is in Christ. We have seen this in the scriptures. We have seen this in stories. The story of, for example, the salt path where the Rainer and her husband Wynne lose everything. Absolutely, it's a true story. Lose absolutely everything. He's diagnosed with a terminal illness, and as the bailiffs come for their house, they make this extraordinary decision to walk the salt path, the southwest coast path, wild camping, well into their later stage of life as well. And at the end of the book, Rainer says, when they lost everything, she chose hope, and hope was what she found. They found that actually, they don't talk explicitly about faith, but extraordinary things happened to them, and they found faith, they found hope, and they found providence along the way. And this sense then that actually this world, for all of its woes and all of its sins and problems, is fundamentally good. Francis Spufford, a book that I've recommended to you a couple of Christmases ago, it's got a very long title, but it's basically say unapologetic why Christian faith makes extraordinary emotional sense. It's something like that. It's about the emotional sense, the resonance of Christian faith. And Francis Spufford said this: the universe is sustained by a continual and infinitely patient act of love. Love keeps it going. And of course, for us as Christians, this is no surprise whatsoever. We have on there on the screen these beautiful words from 1 John. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And the call then is to respond in love, isn't it? The call is to respond to God in love and to love our neighbour as ourselves. And so what follows is just a short reflection with using some artwork about that sense of love, of God giving himself to us, and then our response to him. And as ever on this Sunday, the reflections generally come from Sister Wendy Beckett, the late Sister Wendy Beckett, but some of her reflections on some art that she has seen. If you'd like some copies of the artwork we're looking at, they are on the stalk here. You can collect them as you come up for communion. What we're going to do is just look at about five or six pictures and keep about half a minute just to stop and reflect, take in what the picture may be saying to us, the painting may be saying to us, and any other thoughts that you have from it. So, first of all, we have the Nativity by Rembrandt. And as ever with Rembrandt, the glowing light coming out from the Christ child, illuminating all of those who gather round. But in the wider context, it's a very busy picture with many people there gathered round, and the animals, and that sense of the light has come and illuminating and giving light to all. And so that's where it all starts, of course, this sense in the words of that Christina Rossetti poem again. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine, love was born at Christmas. And fundamentally echoing what we said about the Rainer and her husband finding hope, and then the words of John, and fundamentally God is love. Love is integral to our existence. And because the Creator himself has come as child and has identified with mankind as love. And so this self-giving love, we will go on through and see towards the end. But before we have any reflection, just stop and look at this picture here of the opposite of the Christian love that is being talked about. So this is a picture, a painting of Narcissus. The painter is, if I look at my notes to remind myself, by Poussin from the 17th century. And as you see here, as you well know from Narcissus, he fell in love with his own image, and he's fading away. He's fading away because his love can never be returned. He's indeed a beautiful character, but his love is not being shared with anybody else, and so he must just fade away into nothingness. And similarly there in the background, you see, sitting behind him there, you see Echo, who loves him, but the love is not being returned or fulfilled, and so she too is fading away in the picture. And this is what self-love must do in the end. Cupid represents the hope of love there, but this is a picture where there is self-love, and self-love must fade and die because it has nowhere else to go. It is internalized. Love has to reach outwards, has to reach out to others. And clearly, this is completely opposite of the love that God has brought into the world and has made fundamental to the existence of our existence of the world. So this self-love, to reflect now just for half a minute on the self-love that we all have, our being locked into ourselves, and that must fade or become a cancerous growth within us, lead to our inner being dying within us. That self-love has to go out in love to others. A moment of reflection. Self-love, then, is never going to be the love that God calls us into, that God has made us for. It's always going to fade away and cause our inner death. This is something more towards the point of the love that we are talking about. The Arnafilni marriage by Van Eyck from the 15th century. A portrait of the Arnafilnis. And you can see here a picture of love that is committed, absolutely respectful and faithful to the other. A deep seriousness to their relationship. There is here the love that is sustaining them through their marriage and has brought them ever closer together, that they are becoming more like one person. Such love given to one another that they are becoming that one together. Van Eyck has painted in there the dog as a sign of fidelity. And then holiness is this clearly in this picture, depicted by the removal of shoes and the lit candle. Love is sacred. So that sense that love of giving ourselves to one another brings that outwardness, brings that fulfillment, and it is also bringing connection with the divine. Love is sacred. Apparently, the woman, according to the National Gallery at least, is not pregnant. She's just holding up her dress, but fertility is shown by the fruit in the left and the middle there, towards the left of the man, and with the bed, fertility is shown. So that love, when it is right, when it is good, when it is comes together, brings a fertility too. Fruits come out of love. So love that is a gift, a lifelong companionship to each other, offering as much as they receive. Here we are on the lines of what true love means. So away from the narcissistic love of self and looking outwards to others. Again, a moment of reflection. Those of you in the congregation who are currently parenting or looking after grandchildren will resonate with this one, I'm sure, by Van Gogh, and from the 19th century. And here we said that love is fruitful, and Van Gogh has clearly depicted love to be so fruitful. The tree is lavish with blossom, cabbages are thick on the ground. The painting is about the fruitfulness of dedicated love. And these parents are completely dedicated. So here we're very much away from the narcissistic love of self-love. We're very much into the outward looking and the complete focus on the person to be loved, which here is, of course, the child. The wheelbarrow and the spade lie idle as they give all of their time and attention to nurturing the child, teaching her to walk. And the child is the fruit of their love. The parents' love will bring her to maturity. And so a great fruitfulness of love here, not just in the fruitfulness of the trees and the cabbages and so on, but the fruit of the child growing from the parents' love. The parents, slender and youthful at the moment, probably why they've got more energy to look after a child than grandparents have, they mature as they unite in this act of love, as they join together and help the child in this expression here. And it's a picture of joy and celebration, isn't it? A joint picture of wonder. And the child is clearly enjoying the lesson, but of course, as we all know, there'll be other times when love must be able to say no as well as yes, and even to seem unloving if in the end that is for the other's betterment. And so here again you can see that in the picture that this child is enjoying, but there will be times of tears and tantrums along the way as the parents have to bring the child to know how to love well. And for the picture depicts, does it not, that love is active, love is work. If we assume that we will just be able to love just by it happening, well, it won't. So love is active, love is work. So moving away then, lose our self-love, commit to others, give ourselves in love to others, be dedicated and focused, and be prepared for the love that is hard in saying no to those that we do love. And again, a moment of reflection. So love is work, love is a duty, love brings ever closer together. But of course love is passionate, love is of the whole being, the self, the soul. And this painting, The Kiss by Klimt from the 20th century, you can clearly see that. This passionate love that is about commitment of the whole self, body, mind and spirit, to being at one with the person who is being loved. Part of the self has clearly gone out to the other. Clearly here, there is a coming together as one. They are filled by one another, and similarly, they are receiving from, they're giving to one another as the filling of one another occurs. And such love God gives to us, and we are to give to God. The New Testament, does it not depict our love for God as the church, as a bride? We are the bride of Christ. And that sense of that whole love of God and ourselves as church coming together to bring the new heaven, the new earth. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. My guess is that one of the reasons people struggle to commit to Christian faith is because of the struggles with the emotional self. And if we cannot love in this sort of way, we will struggle to love God. If we cannot clearly give ourselves over in love to others, then we will always be a little bit distant from God and our faith, any sense of faith. And so love has to be, come from this inner being, the self, the soul, has to be full of body, mind and spirit, a full commitment of the self. Again, a moment of reflection. So love is work, love is giving of ourselves totally, of body, mind and spirit. It's not being afraid of our emotional self, It is opening ourselves up completely, emotionally, to the other, being absorbed together in love. But just to remind ourselves that it's not, if we try to do this all on our own, we're not going to get there. We have to go back to the source of love. And so this painting here, St. John Resting on the Bosom of Christ by Meister Heinrich of Constance, early 14th century. And so you see here John resting on and receiving the love of Christ. Absolutely being at peace, being comforted, being held, being filled by the love of Christ. And if we do not take that time, if we do not take that time just to be with Christ, then how we will struggle to give ourselves in love to even those closest to us, obviously those beyond as well, if we are not having and receiving from the love of Christ. And so we need that time, and say so often here, give yourself 10 minutes a day in prayer, ideally 20 minutes, ideally half an hour, and then you may well find that actually you're just resting in Christ for more than that, maybe an hour or so, just resting, receiving his love. Again, rest in this short moment of reflection. And ultimately, the great giving up of self, of sacrifice, of love, there by Rembrandt again. We started with the Nativity, we end with Christ on the cross, again by Rembrandt. And that whole sense of this is what God is like. The fundamental reality of our existence is self-giving love, giving of yourself even to the point of death. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, as we well know from John 3:16. And from Titus chapter 3, verse 4, the kindness of love of God, our Saviour, appeared. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So to know that as God has loved us, then we are empowered by him to love others and calls us into the same sort of life of service, of giving ourselves in love to him. Again, a moment of reflection. Where we started with the Nativity, and we'll finish the reflection in a moment, just there, but to remind you that all of this feeds into the Christmas theme that we've been following over this last week and more of hope. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. God, in coming in Christ, has brought heaven and earth together and enabled all of our existence, that's integral to our existence of love, but actually to be fulfilled in him, to come together in that place of the kingdom of God, of heaven. And the prayer is, as we've been asking through this Christmas season, that we will be these people described in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all of that, of course, comes from the love of God that we have been talking about over this last 10 minutes or so. So may that hope reside within us and come back to it all starts, and it's fun, it pivots around this event here, the birth of Christ. And we will close by just a short piece of music, I Will Love Thee, O Lord, a medieval hymn that we will just hear. It's a couple of minutes long, and just use that for the last moment of reflection. going to stand to declare our faith together, so we need the lights back on.